There's a story that is told about a husband and wife who were both doctors. One, a doctor of theology, and the other, a doctor of medicine. It seems whenever people used to visit their home and they ring the bell, the maidservant opens the door. And the typical question that the visitor comes and says is, "Can I see the doctor?" And the interesting answer of the maidservant is always, "Which one? The one who preaches or the one who practices?" Well, it happens in our lives also that many times we tend to keep preaching but not practicing. When we hear God's word, we need to put it into practice. And though it is a, it sounds a little funny kind of a story, but it's a lesson for me and every one of us that we should not just be preaching or saying words, but we need to put it into practice. When we hear God's word, we need to put it into practice. We should not only be the hearers of the word, but also the doers of the word. It seems a story is told about a pastor who was just starting to serve a new congregation. That was a new church for him. For 8 continuous Sundays, he was preaching on baptism. 8 continuous Sundays. And this board of elders and all, they were really worried as to, this is a new pastor. He comes in every Sunday, he's talking about baptisms. Why? So they decided, one of them, he comes forward and says, "Preacher, we get about baptism. We understand. We understand about baptism. But for this coming Sunday, I'm going to select the passage for you." And so he said, Genesis 1:1. I want you to preach on that. So, and he thought, this one of the board of elders, he thought, there's no way in which this man is going to say, because he has to preach on Genesis 1:1. And so the Sunday came, and the preacher starts Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth." As you keep reading this chapter, the earth had 2/3 of water. So today, we are going to talk about water baptism. And that is how he starts ahead, talking about baptism, even that particular Sunday also. The preacher knew the importance of what the congregation needs. Be it a repetitive thing, unless and until people obey to what they're hearing, he went on preaching about the need of that particular congregation. My dear brothers and sisters, maybe you're here saying that, what can I learn from this baptism? I'm already baptized. What big deal for me? Let me share with you. May the Lord speak to us afresh today. For those who are baptized, we praise the Lord for you. And for those who are unsure about the kind of baptism you took, maybe this will help you to be assured of whether it was the right way that you took baptism or not. And for those who haven't got baptized, maybe this is an opportunity for you to be able to get some clarification on the things that you and I need to have today. Maybe some of us maybe are sitting here, and maybe some of us would be listening later, but my question is that this particular doctrine of baptisms, maybe a few times you might see in people who are taking baptisms for a short while, etc. But today we are going to dedicate this particular sermon totally to baptism. And for that, let us start with the theme verse that we always would like to look at, which is Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. Let us read this together. As we read it, please write it down. Please write it down, all the 6 elementary principles. Very important. Let us read it. As we read it, please write it down. By now, you should be able to fill in the blanks. If you are not sure as to what to fill in the blanks, look at what is projected on the screen. By the end of the series, we should be able to memorize this 6 aspects about the elementary principles. This is picked up from the New King James Version, probably in the versions that you follow. It might use different words. I picked it up from the New King James Version. Shall we all read this together, please? "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Let us read the same one. I hope you have noted down all the 6 points. I tried to underline or leave blanks for the key words so that you could remember it. Let us read this in Hindi all together, please. Isliye aao masi ki siksha ki aarambh ki baaton ko chhodkar hum siddha ki aur badhte jayein aur mare hue kaamon se man firane aur parmeshwar par vishwas karne aur baptismo aur haath rakhne aur mare hue ki jeet uthne aur antim nyay ki siksha rupi nev fir se na dale. Let us read this in Telugu. Kabatti నిర్జీవ క్రియలను విడిచి మారు మనసు పొందుటయు దేవుని అందలి విశ్వాసమును బాప్తిస్మములను గురించిన బోధయు హస్త నిక్షేపణమును మృతుల పునర్దానమును నిత్యమైన తీర్పును అను పునాది మరల వేయక క్రీస్తును గూర్చిన మూలోపదేశము మాని సంపూర్ణమగుటకు సాగిపోదుము. మే ద లార్డ్ స్పీక్ టు అస్ అఫ్రెష్ త్రూ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ సిరీస్ అండ్ స్పెషలీ దిస్ సర్మన్ ఆన్ the doctrine of baptisms. Let's pray. Gracious loving Father, not my words, but whatever you have been teaching me, let those come through me, Father. Lord, help us to have an undivided attention to the listening of your word. Help us not to get distracted here and there for the next few minutes. Help us to focus our attention upon you, because that is what makes the difference in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The doctrine of baptisms. The word baptisms is mentioned. Sometimes you may wonder, what is this plural word? Because Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, one faith, one God, one spirit, one baptism. And what is this baptisms that is being talked about? If you have some other versions, it might use the word washings. It might use the word washings. Instruction of washings, it's what sometimes some of the translations uses. But the original word that is used for this particular, in this particular verse, is baptizo. Baptizo has come from the word which means dip or immersion, dipping or immersion. The word bapto is also another word that is used where it means dipping or immersion. Very important to understand this word baptism. Maybe you have been hearing for how many years it is, but the word baptizo or bapto means dipping or immersing. This particular word baptism is uniquely used in the New Testament. We might wonder where it all started. How did this baptism come into picture at all? We all know that there's a man in the New Testament. New Testament starts pretty much, though it is talking about the birth of Jesus Christ, birth of John the Baptist as well. But John the Baptist, and he was the one who was doing baptisms. So there are different things that we are going to learn today about baptisms. There are two words in Greek I want us to understand. Apart from baptizo, there are two other words which are prepositions. You know what a preposition is? Preposition means there are two words. It tries to relate one word with another word with a small word in between. It's called a preposition. Preposition, meaning it will tell you how the one word matches with the other. I'll give you examples of prepositions. Into, by, with. Those are the words which tells you he went with another person or he went in a bus. So it tells you a specific way in which the word is being used. Why am I trying to mention this? Because a lot of times when the Bible is translated in various English or any other languages, there are different ways in which it is translated. There's a Greek word en. It's a preposition. And there's another Greek word, es, E-I-S. I don't want us to really focus on the Greek word, but all I want to tell is the word en, E-N, in English, it is translated either as with or by or in, any of the three words can be used for en. With, by, or in. EIS means into or unto. Because when I was reading the original language, this particular en and EIS are repeatedly used. If you see in your sermon notes, there are four things, four varieties or variations if I may want to use, dimensions of baptism. And that is why plurality baptisms, to be able to explain certain thing in the form of different dimensions. If you see here, on the left side, you see baptism with on the left side. On the right side, it says baptism into. On the left side, it is baptizo en, en. On the right side, it is baptizo es, eis. Baptism with, baptism into. Two things that we are going to learn today. Because this is something, as I was studying and meditating myself, looking at the original scriptures, this was the kind of understanding that I could get, which I was trying to relate to various scholars as well to understand that I'm not in any way trying to differ from what the understanding is from the biblical scholars' perspective as well. So it's very important, this doctrine of baptisms. The word doctrine is typically talking about the basics or teachings, apostles' doctrine, it says. Bodha in Telugu, it says. So it is very important for us to understand this particular word baptism. Baptism, baptism with, and baptism into. Two things about baptism with, and two things about baptism into, and that is how we will move on with this sermon. The first thing that you and I should be able to understand is, it all started, as I was telling, New Testament, it all started with a certain kind of baptism. Let us see that from Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Here in verse 4, it talks about Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. What does it say? John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And then we notice in verse 8, John the Baptist himself says, I baptize you with water. I baptize you with water. So this particular baptism, the first thing on the bottom left, by the way, we are going to start from bottom left. And here it says, baptism with water. You see that as it is projected here as well. You can fill in the blank. The first thing about baptism that we can learn today, the teaching about baptism, is baptism with water. In some other translations, you might see a footnote which says baptism in water, because it's hard to translate that Greek word en. The en could mean with, or en could be in. In Telugu it says neelalo. In footnote it says neelato. Because it's hard to differentiate that one small Greek word n, en. Whether it is baptism with water or baptism in water. Both have a specific understanding. This person, John the Baptist, is baptizing with water, and also he's baptizing in water. Both have a sense. He's immersing people in water. And he is giving baptism with water. You see that? So here we notice that he was baptizing with water. Or in other words, if you want to also write, baptizing in water. What is this baptism in water? And what is this? And in what way is this baptism applicable in this present day world? If you see in verse 4, baptism, it says, he was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And what were these people doing? All the people of Jerusalem, they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Repentance for forgiveness of sins. And these people were confessing their sins. So this baptism of John, or baptism with water, this is how it started. It's always good to know how it all started. So if you want to note down the bullets that relate to baptism with water, these are the four things that we can note it down. You can write it down as well in your sermon notes. Four things that relate to baptism with water. I'm not sure if the bottommost line is clear for you, but let me tell you those four bullets as you write it down. First is repentance. By the way, we have been meditating upon repentance from dead works as part of this series only. If you haven't heard the sermon on repentance from dead works as part of the series, you can go to our website and listen to that at zion-church.org. It is there, right there. Repentance from dead works. And then confession of sins in verse 5 towards the end, it says, people were confessing. They were repenting, meaning taking a U-turn. And they were confessing their sins that they have committed. And as they were confessing, in verse 4 it says, repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So there was repentance, there was confession of sins, there was forgiveness of sins. And the last bullet is a testimony as well. Just I want to mention that, I mean, there is no specific word where itself tells testimony, but it is something that is that everyone is watching. This baptism with water, when people used to come to John the Baptist, it was not a private affair. This man was not doing dipping himself in a water in his bathtub or a swimming pool. There was someone, at least one person, human being, who used to be there, who will give the baptism. So there is at least one human witness, but in most of the cases, there are many human witnesses. So it is a testimony of these people when they came forward that they had to perform certain things in terms of letting the world know that they are getting baptized. So baptism with water is a testimony, if at all, if we want to understand. And what was John the Baptist doing while he was giving that baptism? In Luke chapter 3, there are many things that we can learn what he was doing while he was giving baptism. It's very important that we should learn how John the Baptist was giving baptism. Luke chapter 3 and verse 7. What was he doing? He said, Luke chapter 3 and verse 7, as I read, listen to this carefully. So he began saying to the crowds who were going out to be baptized by him. You know what he said? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. He was very firm in being able to tell people before giving baptism. Verse 9, indeed, the axe is ready, laid to the roots of the trees. So every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds were questioning him, saying, then what shall we do? Verse 11, he began to answer and say to them, the man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and who has food to do likewise. These are the fruits of repentance. He was telling, if you are coming here to get baptism from me, to be baptized with water, baptism of repentance, you have to take a U-turn where if you were having two tunics, you should be able to share with somebody who doesn't have. And verse 12, some tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what you have been ordered to. Do not do the things that you were doing earlier. You take a U-turn. And some soldiers were questioning him in verse 14. What about us? What shall we do? Everyone in different professions that they are in, when they repent, they have to be able to turn away from the things that they were doing against God. And he in soldiers also. And he said, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely. Be content with your wages. Don't try to take more than what you are supposed to. And that is how he was talking to these people. Baptism. John baptism. But let me tell you, back to Mark chapter 1. Here, we notice something that he was preaching. As he was preaching, there was something that was missing in this baptism that John the Baptist was performing. And now in verse 7, he says, he was preaching, and Mark 1, and saying, after me, one is coming who is mightier than I. I'm not fit to stoop down to untie the thong of his sandals. So he's telling that there is somebody who's going to come after me. I'm just a forerunner. The moment that person comes, I am going to go unseen. This person who is going to come after me, he is the focus. Nothing about me, but the one who is coming after me, he is the focus. Then the question might come, how come? Is John not doing the one that he's supposed to? Yes, he is a forerunner. He was preparing the way for Lord Jesus Christ to come into this world. So he was doing the baptism of repentance, baptism with water. He was doing whatever God has intended him to do, he was doing. In John chapter 1 and verse 33. Could you please read any one of us? John chapter 1 and verse 33. I did not recognize him. Who is that him? Jesus. Though Jesus was his cousin, he could not have his spiritual eyes. God has blinded his spiritual eyes till the right time that he would know that somebody with whom he was going along, he is the one who is going to baptize with something else. So here he says, but he who sent me to baptize in water or with water said to me, he who sent me to baptize in water. So John the Baptist was doing what God intended him to do for that moment of time. John the Baptist was sent by God in order to baptize with water. But he said, there is somebody else who is going to come, who is going to baptize you in or with the Holy Spirit. That's the second one that we want to understand. Baptism with the Holy Spirit, or baptism in the Holy Spirit. Many times people use the word baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Watch out these prepositions that we use. Biblically, does it use that word or not? Because here primarily it says here, he is the one who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Because the same word, en, the Greek word en. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, I have a footnote there. Under the in the footnote, it says, in the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit. So now, there is something that is going on here. Okay? John the Baptist has been baptizing with water or in water certain people towards repentance, confession, forgiveness as a testimony. If God had sent John the Baptist, the baptism with water, and now there is somebody else who is going to come after John the Baptist. He is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he came. And the way in which he was introduced was the one on whom the Spirit will descend upon in the form of a dove. He is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit or baptize in the Holy Spirit. Who is the one who is doing it? Jesus Christ. Not my words. It is God's word which is telling. Some other places it also uses Holy Spirit and fire. Fire in terms of the way in which he wants it to be done right. And also the judgment also is another reference that is mentioned about. But here the baptism in the Holy Spirit or baptism in with the Holy Spirit is what we are going to look forward to. Jesus himself, though he is going to be to baptize everyone, those who have believed in him, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, he himself, Jesus himself, was baptized by John with water. Jesus, he obeyed in the water baptism before enabling others to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So there is something that we can see, that baptism with water is not removed. Baptism with water still exists, but there is someone who is coming who is going to baptize with Holy Spirit. And that is what we see here. And we notice that there are many instances that it talks about this. And so now John the Baptist is saying, verse 8, Mark 1, 8, it says that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. I'm going to ask you to keep looking at the Bible, because when you look and hear, you'll have a better understanding. These are some basic things I want to teach about. This is a teaching, by the way. It's doctrine. It's a teaching about baptism. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. Somebody, could you please read in verse 5? Any other language, please? Verse 5. Acts 1, 5. Yes, again, the word en is used, Greek word. So some of the translations uses the word in, with, doesn't matter. Don't get confused. Both have their proper understanding. Baptism in water, baptism with water, baptism in the Holy Spirit, baptism with the Holy Spirit. Who is telling this? I have a red-lettered edition of the Bible, and it is red-lettered. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. Who is saying this? Jesus Christ is saying this. What is Jesus saying it? Just before he was ascending into heaven, Jesus said the same words that John the Baptist said in Mark chapter 1 and verse 8. And what did Jesus say? John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So now we notice there was something that has happened from the book of Acts. The book of Acts talks so much about this particular understanding of the baptism in the Holy Spirit or baptism with the Holy Spirit. A lot of controversies that go in this particular one. And I want each one of us who are listening to this to be clear on this particular doctrine of the baptism with the Holy Spirit or baptism in the Holy Spirit. From the Bible, we are going to meditate upon. And here we notice that there is something that was going to happen. And in verse 8, Acts 1:8, Jesus himself said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." The Holy Spirit coming upon you. In verse 5, he says, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So this baptism also should be well understood, where the Holy Spirit of God, just like he descended upon Jesus Christ when he was baptized in water or with water, now we notice Jesus is saying you will receive power. You will know that you have the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit when you can understand, when you can really experience the power of the Holy Spirit in you. You will receive power. Maybe you have been timid, unable to be standing for Christ. When you have received the Holy Spirit of God, you will have power. Peter was timid. He was not able to tell his relationship with Jesus Christ. He denied Jesus Christ 3 times because he did not have the power. And here we notice that when he received, Peter and every other people in this particular incident, they have received power. They have received power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, baptism with the Holy Spirit also has the essence of witnessing or testimony. And we see that as to what all happened in the book of Acts. Let me tell you, the book of Acts chapter 1 is the birth of the New Testament church. The birth of the New Testament church began with baptism with the Holy Spirit. That's how the New Testament church was birthed or was born. And the day when it was born, the day of Pentecost, it says in Acts chapter 2. Again, don't get bogged down with the denominations here. Oh, this is all Pentecostal or charismatic or non-charismatic. We're not getting into that, let me tell you. Pentecost is a biblical word. That day, whatever Jesus had promised, that they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, was experienced. People were able to experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God more than any other time, to be able to continue the presence of the Holy Spirit of God to guide them in the absence of the physical presence of Jesus Christ. That was the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So now what happens during the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Now you notice Acts chapter 2 itself, amazing sermon out of power that Peter spoke. The one who denied Jesus Christ 3 times, now when he is empowered with the Holy Spirit of God, what did he do? He stood up and spoke boldly as a witness to Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was doing it, we notice in verse 31, after his sermon, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. When somebody is sharing with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, people's hearts are pierced, not because of the man's words, but the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It is not the man who gets the credit when people's hearts are pierced, but it is the Holy Spirit of God who gets the credit. In verse 37, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Remember in Luke chapter 3, the same kind of people, soldiers and many other people, who tax collectors, they came and asked John the Baptist, what shall we do? We just read it, Luke chapter 3, if you have been concentrating. Now in Acts chapter 2, the same kind of people, when Peter was standing there and proclaiming God's word and preaching, they were saying, what shall we do? What shall we do? John the Baptist is behind the curtain. He's gone. Jesus Christ is there. John the Baptist, whatever he had supposed to do, he did it. Now Jesus Christ, he promised and he gave the Holy Spirit. And now we notice this verse very carefully, verse 38. Verse 38, very important, my dear. Shall we all read this together? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. This is the first sermon that was proclaimed as part of the New Testament church, which we are part of. We are part of the New Testament era. Not about the John the Baptist time. We are in the New Testament time, Acts chapter 2. Let's all read verse 38, please. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us note down the specific bullets for baptism with the Holy Spirit. Baptism with water, baptism with the Holy Spirit seems to be very, very similar. What does he say in verse 38? Repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You see that? That name of Jesus Christ was not mentioned in John's baptism. Notice the difference. In John's baptism, he never mentioned the name of Jesus because John himself did not know who it was. He never knew who was going to come after him till the moment that Jesus was baptized. And the Spirit descended upon him. Till such time, John the Baptist did not know who that person was who was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. So he could not use the name of Jesus Christ. It was not revealed to John the Baptist till such time that Jesus was introduced. The moment Jesus is introduced, John the Baptist is behind the curtain. It's only Jesus now. Now you notice what is being talked about baptism with the Holy Spirit. Repent. And we need to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. That is what repeatedly it talks about in the book of Acts. You repent and you see the name of Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness of sins. And also there is additional thing that happens. This baptism with the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit. The result of it is you are going to receive the Holy Spirit of God within you. That was not happening with John's baptism. I want to be very clear. I don't want to use the word John's baptism and water baptism interchangeably because they are different. John's baptism did not use the name of Jesus Christ. It did not use the Holy Spirit of God. But the baptism with the Holy Spirit has the mention of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. That is what the difference is. And you notice in verse 41, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. So then, those who received his word were baptized. Those who received his word were baptized. And that day they were added about 3,000 souls. So the thing that you and I should be able to understand here is the baptism with the Holy Spirit of God is what is happening from the New Testament church that has begun. Many incidents here, you see 3,000 people through the preaching of Peter, they were all baptized. Let us just jump quickly, if you are good in turning your Bibles, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And here you notice that people were scattered. They became witnesses not only in Jerusalem, but Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world in chapter 8. According to the promise or as to what Jesus Christ has told. And there was a man by name Philip who went to Samaria. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ends of the world. So this man in verse 4 it says that when they were preaching the word in verse 5, Philip went to the city of Samaria. And he proclaimed the word of God to them. And they were proclaiming the word of God to them. Verse 12. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. When they believed Philip preaching the good news. Believe. You see that? Believe. The preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Were being baptized, men and women alike. What baptism is this? It is not clearly mentioned. It could be a combination of both baptism with the Holy Spirit and baptism with water. It is not clearly mentioned, but I could infer from what is read through. If I read the book of Acts, keeping baptism in mind and read through it, you can get very wonderful thoughts and God can reveal to you according to his word as to, Lord, what can I learn about baptism as I read through the whole book of Acts? The other time I was meditating on the book of Acts from prayer perspective. Many wonderful truths you can learn from the same book of Acts about prayer. Again, read the book of Acts again from baptism perspective. You will be able to focus on so many things. Here, that is what is mentioned. In Acts chapter 8, the same Philip was taken to another person. He is an Ethiopian eunuch. An Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, as he was reading through the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord takes him to the chariot. And he runs and gets in to the chariot when the man told him to come and sit and explain to him from the book of Isaiah in chapter 32 and verse 32, 33, Acts 8, 32, 33. He talks about something that was going on, a sheep that was led to the slaughter. The lamb before its shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. And he wondered, I don't understand what I'm reading from this book of Isaiah. And then in verse 35, listen to this carefully, my dear, Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now it is no more John. It is no more just a simple repentance, but it is something beyond repentance. It is belief in Jesus Christ. Now you see the elementary principles. It starts with repentance. It starts with faith, right? Now the third one we are meditating is baptism. You need repentance, you need faith or belief in order to go to the next step of baptism. So here we notice he preached Jesus to him. As he was preaching Jesus to him, he was telling about the repentance that Jesus is the one who has come into this world, that he died for us on the cross of Calvary. He died for us and he gave his life for us in order to be able to give us eternal life. All that is not mentioned here, but he must have told all of it. Why? We notice in verse 36. And he also told about some other thing. He said in verse 36, as they went along the road, they came to some water. And eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? In the New Testament era, in the book of Acts, there is still water baptism. Very clearly, there is no John's baptism, but there is baptism with water. It continues in the New Testament. Though there is baptism with the Holy Spirit, there is baptism with water also. Here you notice, while he was believing in the name of Jesus Christ, as he was telling in verse 37, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Belief is very important. Faith is very important. And he answered and said, this is what the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He had to confess not only of his sins, but he also had to confess who Jesus Christ is. The word Jesus means Savior. And when you repent, when you believe in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, notice these bullets. When you repent, when you believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, what do? You receive the Holy Spirit of God. Is that sufficient? The moment he had that baptism with the Holy Spirit, the moment he was saved, that is the experience when you will receive the Holy Spirit, my dear. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, baptism with the Holy Spirit happens the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I can't be any clearer than this. Lot of things that you keep hearing, but from the biblical principles, when Philip was sharing the gospel, this is when he had believed in Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe in Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, believe and be baptized. Let's see that. We'll come back to Acts chapter 8. Keep your finger there. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Very important verse. What does it say? He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. What baptism is this, people say? Is this baptism with the Holy Spirit? Baptism with water? It is not mentioned. But one thing is mentioned. It could be both. Baptism with the Holy Spirit. But that is the most important one. Baptism with water, we don't know yet. But because it says in verse 16, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. It doesn't say those who did not take water baptism will be condemned. It doesn't say that. But it is a commandment of the Lord to be able to immediately, the moment you have that assurance of salvation, the moment you have the baptism with the Holy Spirit, that you should be able to move forward with the water baptism. Acts chapter 8. What did this man do? Philip must have been telling, you know what? You not only need to receive the Holy Spirit of God, but also you should witness. You should be a testimony by immersing yourselves in water. Did it take a long time for this Ethiopian eunuch to be water baptized? No! Because this man had a clear assurance of salvation. Some people, they take immediately. Some people, they wait till they get the assurance of salvation. But both are essential. Water baptism with the Holy Spirit, which happens internally. Baptism with the water, which happens externally. That is what the New Testament experience of baptism is. Now you see that? You need to be able to repent, believe in the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other name other than the name of Jesus Christ by which we can be saved. Jesus himself, the name itself means Savior. So let's quickly go move forward. That it also says in Acts chapter 10, there was a man by name Cornelius. Do you know Cornelius? This man, along with his household, were waiting for a man by name Peter to come and preach the word of God. They were saying, we want to hear from you what you want to tell. And when they were hearing from Peter, again, something has happened. What happened? In Acts chapter 10 and verse 47, he says, as they were doing it, let's read in verse 45, sorry. Okay, let me go a little way, 43. Acts 10, 43. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And then verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. The gospel was being preached. The Holy Spirit of God was on upon them to be able to convict them of their sins. And they were going through that receiving of the Holy Spirit. And now in verse 47, you know what he said? Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit. So what is the sequence here? They first received the Holy Spirit and now they are witnessing in water baptism. That is the New Testament way of understanding. In the New Testament way, that means after Jesus Christ was introduced by John the Baptist, the first and foremost thing is that you need to receive the Holy Spirit of God. And you will receive the Holy Spirit of God when the baptism with the Holy Spirit happens. The moment you receive the Holy Spirit of God, in verse 47 it says, no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized. That means you still need to witness in water baptism. Just because you are saying, I'm a believer in Lord Jesus Christ, I have received the Holy Spirit of God, I don't want to witness in water baptism. Some people are hesitant. Something is preventing you, my dear. Maybe you're sitting here listening to this. Maybe you're saying, I have believed in Lord Jesus Christ. I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That is just one part. The Bible here says, 47, no one can refuse water for these to be baptized. Remember that. Very important. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. It talks about two people. Quickly, I don't want to take much time here. In verse 14 onwards, there was a lady by name Lydia. In verse 14 and 15, it says, especially in verse 15, she and her household had been baptized. Having heard the word of God in verse 14, she and her household got baptized. Baptism is very essential. What kind of baptism is this? If it is not clearly mentioned, I would presume both. Baptism with the Holy Spirit and baptism with water. And also in verse 16, chapter 31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, you and your household. And then in verse 33, he took them very hour of the night, washed their wounds. Immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. The moment they believed in verse 31 and verse 32, they were immediately baptized. What does it mean? Were they baptized with the Holy Spirit? Was they baptized with water? I would presume both. Baptism with the Holy Spirit and baptism with water. Very essential things that you and I can learn. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. Here also it says, Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. They were believing and being baptized. Again here, what baptism is this? First, the internal experience, that is a baptism with the Holy Spirit, and the external expression, which is baptism with the water. There is something that has happened in chapter 19, Acts chapter 19. What happened? Listen to this very carefully. Paul went to Ephesus. Something that you and I should notice here. He went to Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. Paul went there. And he asked one question, verse 2. What was verse 2? Acts 19:2, please read. Yeah. So these people were baptized, but they did not receive the Holy Spirit. What kind of baptism would this be? John's baptism, verse 3. And he said, into what then you were baptized? Verse 3. And they said, into John's baptism. What does John's baptism do? There was no mention of Jesus Christ. There was no mention of Holy Spirit. And these people were baptized before Jesus was introduced. These people were baptized before the New Testament church was born. And now these people, what was going on? Verse 4, Paul said, John baptized you with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is in Jesus, verse 4. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. Very important to understand. If there is only one baptism, why did they have to get baptized again? Because their baptism was not the baptism. They were baptized only the bottom one, which is John's baptism. They were just baptized with water. They were not baptized with the Holy Spirit. They had to be baptized again. They had to be baptized again. A lot of people have this question. Oh, brother, when I was a kid, I was still an infant. My parents baptized me. They sprinkled water on me. Am I not baptized? And people ask you, I'm baptized. And some people, for the sake of wedding, they must have taken baptism. They must have taken water baptism only. They must have taken water baptism only. If we have not had the baptism with the Holy Spirit, baptism with water has no value. Maybe you're sitting here wondering whether the baptism that you took was a baptism according to the word of God. The baptism with water should come after the baptism with the Holy Spirit according to the New Testament church. So if you have taken baptism for the sake of satisfying some obligation or a tradition without having believed in the name of Jesus Christ, without having experienced the receiving of the Holy Spirit of God to be able to be a witness for him, maybe you need to question yourself if that baptism that you took was the kind of baptism that you are supposed to take. or if your parents had given you baptism. In what way? Where is the belief? You need to take that baptism, which is baptism with the Holy Spirit, followed by baptism with water. If you haven't taken that, may I greatly encourage you to follow the biblical principles, the New Testament principles of being experiencing the baptism in the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit. First, believing Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Spirit of God within you to be able to have the power and witness for Him, and then witness in water baptism. That is the sequence that you and I need to follow. I just want to express this important element that you and I should learn. Two more and we'll close. What are the two other things that we can learn? Baptism into Christ. What is this baptism into Christ? Romans chapter 6 talks about that specific element about baptism into Christ. Verse 3. Please read, someone. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Romans 6, 3. Know ye not that those of us who are baptized, what does it say? Into Christ Jesus. Into. The Greek word that is used here is E-I-S, not E-N. E-I-S. Remember what I said a few minutes ago? E-I-S, Greek word, is translated into or unto. To get into. Baptism into Christ. And it's here it says, you have been baptized into Christ. You have been baptized into His death. Verse 4, you have been buried with Him, baptism into death. And you have been raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. And in verse 5, if you have been united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Newness of life in verse 4. So the thing that you can note down here is the baptism into Christ is identity with Christ. Please note it down. Identity with Christ. Now, baptism with the Holy Spirit, baptism with water is enabling us to be able to experience baptism into Christ. What is this baptism into Christ? You are having identity with Christ. You know, what is your ID? What is your ID? Your identity is Christ. You have died with Christ. You are buried with Christ. You are raised with Christ. That is what baptism talks about. I am into Christ, baptized into Christ. Christ, I'm going to have the experience that Christ had the experience about. I want to show you a picture. This is very important. Sometimes pictures help us to understand better. At the bottom, if you see, crucified with Him, buried with Him, raised with Him. If you look at the top, crucified with Him is like a cross, buried with Him like a grave, and raised with Him is to come out. That is what baptism is. See the picture there on the bottom? You get into the water and you say, I have been crucified with Christ. And then you are put into water. The way in which you are put in represents the burial. You know, when people bury, do they just bury with some dirt on them? Sprinkling dirt on them, saying, okay, you are dead, I have buried you? No. You don't just sprinkle dirt on that person. You fully immerse that person under the ground. The deeper it is, the better it is, right? Sometimes you immerse them under the ground. That is what grave is. When you are going underwater, you are saying, I am buried with Christ fully. Every hair also to be fully getting into water. And then coming out of water is being raised into a newness of life. That is what the identity with Christ is. When you have the identity of Christ, I don't want to take much time. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. What does it say there? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Please read. It says, for all who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. If you have King James Version or the English Standard Version, it says, if you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Put on Christ. That means you are putting on, you are getting rid of the old clothes, When you got into the water, you came with some kind of clothes. But when you come out of the water, you are going to put on new clothes. Most of the time, we want to put on various brands. Gucci or Abercrombie or you know, whatever are the brands that you want to wear. And you want to say, well, this person is wearing this kind of a brand. You know, a lot of people talk about the brands. We talk about putting on the various brands. We want to show off those brands as well. But those who are baptized into Christ, you put on Christ by putting off the old nature and you put on the new nature. If you read Colossians chapter 3, it talks about how you have to put off your old self and put on your new self. It seems the gospel was preached in the island of Barbados. I don't know if you have heard of that island, Barbados, where people were invited to take baptism. Having had the experience of salvation, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, now they were invited to testify in water baptism. When they were invited to testify in water baptism, these people, missionaries who came to preach the gospel, they saw the local people, the people of the island of Barbados, the women were wearing nightgowns before they were entering into the baptism tank. And men were wearing pajamas, the striped pajamas. And they were coming in. And these missionaries were thinking, why are they wearing these night dresses? And they were wondering. And then they gave the baptism, everything was over. Next day, there was a funeral that was going on. In the island of Barbados, the ones who are buried, they are dressed up with night dress. Women with nightgowns, men with pajamas. That is the dress they put on this dead bodies, and then they bury them under the ground. They were preached, they were being told that you are buried with Christ. So they were showing forth their burial with Christ like dead people. They said, those who were buried were like sleepover, they say, right? So that's why they were wearing nightgowns and pajamas. So they want to have that kind of understanding that I am getting buried with Christ. So they came in that dress and they got there. Baptized, and they started wearing the new clothes after they come out of water. So my dear brothers and sisters, third and fourth and final thing is baptism into one body, and we'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Please read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. It says, for by one Spirit you were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Baptism into one body. Baptism into Christ. And the second one is baptism into one body, or in other words, baptism into church. Baptism into Christ, baptism into church. That is what you are going to experience when you take baptism. That is what the experience you'll have, that you are baptized into Christ, you are baptized into the body of Christ, or in other words, that one body that is the church, which is his body. Ephesians also talks about it, that church which is his body. And you and I should be able to understand that. Ephesians talks about the fact that church is his body. And here it says, by one Spirit you were all baptized into one body. God wants to baptize us into the body of Christ, to be partakers of the members of the body of Christ. And that is what we see here, that we have identity with the church. When you are baptized, you are identifying yourselves with Christ and you are identifying yourself as a member of the church, which is the universal church, the body of Christ. And secondly, that we can learn is that we are individual members united and working together. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that verse 14, for the body is not one member but many, and every member of the body keeps functioning together unitedly. If there is a pain on the right hand, the left hand tries to come and hold it and try to appease it. Or sometimes that finger is kept in your mouth to be able to appease it. One member suffers, the other member also suffers. Verse 26, 1 Corinthians 12, 26. That means that you are baptized into the body of Christ as a living member. And as you are in that member of the body of Christ, you will work together. You will work in unity. You will be part of the church. You will function together. And that is what the baptism is, my dear. Four things that we have learned. Very important things that you and I should be able to recognize here. Four things. Baptism with what? Water. Baptism with Holy Spirit. Baptism into Christ. Baptism into one body, that is church. Have you gone through that experience? Is that what your experience is? If not, maybe you need to question yourselves in being able to ask this question, whether you are baptized or not. Acts chapter 22. Finally, I want us to be able to take this one verse, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. One of us aloud, please read Acts 22 verse 16. Why do you delay? Can you read it in any other language? Verse 16. Yes, why delay? Get up and be baptized. Are you that one? Are you that one? Have you had the experience of baptism with the Holy Spirit? Have you had the experience of repentance, belief, forgiveness of sins, receiving the Holy Spirit? Have you experienced in water baptism? If there is any one of these that you haven't obeyed, this verse is for you, verse 16. Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on His name. Maybe you're sitting here wondering whether you have that experience of the baptism we are talking about. May the Lord enable us to learn these principles from His word. Let's close our eyes.